You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio Program, WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And this is officially, we yesterday finished 12 years of the Refresh Radio Program. We started on a Monday back then in 2013, and we continue to, you know, present a program, a new program just about each and every day. There's a couple of times a year when we don't. We have one on Good Friday. We have some between Christmas and New Year's that we play every year. And then we have some during the Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving, that are programs. But outside of that, there's only been a couple of times in the 12 years we've been doing it that we have not presented a program specifically designed for that day on the calendar. And so here we go into year number 13. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of it. And you know, we're glad that this program can be a blessing. That is what Merritt Assembly of God exists to do, is to be a blessing. And you know, as long as it continues to do that, we will continue to come here and be as much of a blessing as we can be. Would like to say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. That gets you in touch with Greg. Greg has taken the reins of Jits Concrete, and he's the point person, and his dad is still around. It wasn't that many years ago he was out there doing the prep and pouring concrete and finishing the concrete for a project at the church. And I was like, man, you get around better. He's almost old enough to be my father, not quite, but he's right around there. And and I'm not a spring chicken anymore myself, but he was out there getting after it. Greg now takes care of all of that, him and his team. But they have decades and decades of experience, good experience. If you go to the driving range on a golf course, you can see that not all experience is good experience. If you don't know what you're doing, that just reinforces what you're doing wrong. But they have great experience. They have expertise in everything from the prep to the codes, the different strengths of concrete, how to handle it, when to order it, the people to call and order it from. They got all of that, and they got a great work ethic. They want to get in, get your project done, and get out of the way so that you can move forward with your project and get to utilizing it as quickly as possible. If you got a concrete job that is coming up, whether it's pouring a slab, a sidewalk, you know, whatever it might be, the Jits Concrete may be a great resource for you. Their phone number is 321-536-5804, and we're thankful for their partnership here on the Refresh Radio Program. Today we are going back to Psalm 106, and I sat down and I made a list of things from this chapter And the list that I made is this. What can you do to destroy your desire to praise God? You know, my brain doesn't always work the same way that other people's brains work. And so I thought I would present this to you in a way, because the scripture is clear. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So it is God's will for each and every person to be a person that praises God. And since that's God's will, the enemy has a plan to disrupt that praise of God or eliminate it entirely from your life. So I remember this goes back 30 plus years when I was in retail management, and I encountered this person who was a little cranky. They were younger then than I am now. And I remember saying this, God, I don't want to be a cranky old man. Now, I don't think of myself as old. That person probably didn't think of themselves as old. And I said, God, I don't want to be a cranky old man. I've known a lot of people through the years that the older they got, the more cantankerous they got, the more cranky they became. And there just wasn't any pleasing them. There wasn't, you know, the food was never good enough. However you treated them wasn't the right way. They were just miserable at that stage of life. And I said, God, I don't want to be a cranky old man. And as I prayed that prayer, God spoke this to my heart. Then don't be a cranky young man. And believe me, I love to have fun. I would much rather, you know, joke my way through life, laugh my way through life, have the joy of the Lord through my life. I enjoy living. And, you know, but I remember specifically, well, don't be a cranky young man. And as we look through this list, some of them we have already touched on. I'm not going to go back too far into the process, but I want you to think about how many of these the enemy may be utilizing to creep into your life, because the ultimate goal is to cause you to be a person that doesn't praise God for him or his blessings that he has brought into your life. So every once in a while, there are some people in my social media page, and they will post things. I don't post things like this. I think it's a scam that, you know, people are trying to find information out about you and things like that and hijack your social media account. I've known people that's happened to. But how many of these experiences have you had? How many of these foods have you eaten? How many of these states have you been to? How many of these countries have you been to? And, you know, the more you check off, either the better or the worse that you are. And so I hope as we go through this list that you will have very few of these in operation in your life. So let me just go ahead and read verses 24 through 27, and then we're going to go back and recap, and then we'll come back to where we haven't taught so far. Verse number 24, then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his words, but complained in their tents, and did not heed the voice of the Lord. Therefore he raised his hand in an oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their descendants among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. So if we go back to verse number 13, verses 13 through 15, it says, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their requests, but sent leanness into their soul. So the first few is a way of recapping. We'll recap some other things between verses 15 and 24 as well. But the first thing is forget what God has done. Forget what God has done. And you don't want to do that. I remember when I went on a missions trip, my mother's, I was charged with the responsibility of sharing a testimony of what God had done in my life. And there was something that happened when I was very young. Now, the reason I didn't remember this is I was, I believe I was 3 years old, might have just turned four. But I was exceptionally young when this happened. And my mother reminded me of what God had done in my life. I've had people who reminded me of the call of God on my life. I live with daily reminders of things that God has done that other people did not think that God would ever do. And I will tell you that God has been actively involved in your life, whether you're a believer or whether you're not a believer. You see, the enemy, when you are operating outside of the will of God, will take advantage of every opportunity that he has to inflict damage, harm, or destruction upon your life. But God, in his great mercy, is still pursuing the lost by God the Holy Spirit and positioning people of God around you. And I believe when we get to heaven, we'll find out that God was, you know, secretly working behind the scenes to protect us with his mercy and grace, even though the enemy was trying to destroy us. So thank God that he's at work. Don't forget it. The best way that I have to remember things now, I have to write them down. And I've got multiple journals that are going on at the same time. And whenever I have something that God speaks to my heart, I write it down in that journal. And then whenever I go to pick up that particular journal, I remind myself all over again about the things that God has spoken. God has been good to you because God is good. He's always been good. He always will be good. And he currently is good. He operates from a place of morality. He is the very definition of moral. And so thank God that he has done great things. You and I have the responsibility to remember it. The second reminder, it's in that same section, 13 through 15, and that is don't listen to God as a source of wisdom. There, I remember when I first moved to Brevard County, there was a guy. All I remember is his name was Bruce. Had a talk show on late at night, and when I was picking up my wife from work, we had staggered shifts because we had a son, and we were, you know, taking shifts. I worked during the day, she worked at night, and I would listen to this guy, and I remember, you know, I don't remember most of what he said. But he said, yeah, I read the Bible through once. I didn't understand it, and so I gave up on it. Well, I can tell you, I've read the Bible through hundreds of times. And I was just reading the Word here recently, and God revealed something in there that I hadn't seen before. I've got a new sermon series that I am working on right now because God quickened a particular passage. I saw that and I was like, wow, I wonder how many of those the Bible talks about in our life. Because God wants us to be successful. And a lot of people, they kind of equate the Word of God with just, you know, an ancient work of literature. Some people look at it as history. Some people look at it as poetry. But it is very clear that the Word of God is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. And if you will receive the wisdom that God has, it will lead you to praising him. But if, you know, according to Paul Harvey, if I was the devil, one of the things that I would do is I would cause people to start questioning the word of God, start treating the word of God as unnecessary. It doesn't help you if you own a Bible, if you never avail yourself of the word of God. And I read all of it. I don't just open it up and say, okay, let me see what this passage has to say today. I systematically read through it, and you'd be amazed at the number of times when what I need to hear is exactly what's in the passage. And so here a couple of weeks ago, I sat down just to read the Bible, not for a sermon, just to feast on the word of God as as a man redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And it was the book of Lamentations. You say, what can you get out of Lamentations? Well, in chapter 3, verse number 23, it says, great is your faithfulness. And so I want to listen to the word of God as wisdom, because God is an expert in every field. He is the preeminent expert. He's the expert on how to get to heaven. He is the expert on how to live. He is the expert on marriage. He is the expert on finances. In fact, over the past few weeks, I saw an article where a person had operated their finances in a manner contrary to the word of God. And it, when everything was going well, that was great. When all of a sudden it came imploding down, they ended up, becoming so disillusioned that they tragically made a horrific, horrific decision. Listen to the word of God. God knows what he's talking about. So, the third thing, if you want to destroy your prayer life, is put carnal desires before spiritual desires. Put carnal desires before spiritual desires. So you follow the lusts of the flesh instead of following the desires of the Spirit. Those two words can be the same meaning, but one of them is rooted in relationship, wanting to pursue the things that God wants you to pursue, where the other is a substitute, where you crave the things that your flesh wants instead of the things that will take care of you spiritually. So forget what God has done will cause you to, your prayer or your praise life to be hindered. If you don't listen to God as a source of wisdom, you won't realize that there is a lot of valid reasons to praise God. If you put carnal desires before spiritual desires, it'll lead to number four here. You'll starve yourself spiritually. You'll starve yourself spiritually. If you look around in America right now, you'll find there's a lot of restaurants all over the place. If you try and go out to eat on a particular night, you'll find that there are a lot of people who are going out to eat. Grocery stores, if there's a storm that's coming, people come in and, man, you know, even the least desirable foods are wiped off the shelf because people say, hey, if I've got a storm that's coming and power goes out or water goes out, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to be able to nourish myself physically. They're very motivated to do that. Well, you know, most of us are carrying around a day or two's worth of supplies, or a week or two, or a month or two. But at the same time, we starve ourselves spiritually. You know what happens if you don't eat? If you don't eat, you lose your appetite. If you do eat, it increases your appetite. And there are a lot of people in the world. Now, thankfully, we're seeing a little bit of reversal in this over the past couple of months in that people's spiritual appetite has been quickened. It's been awakened. There have been people who are pursuing a relationship with God. They're back in church and they're worshiping God. They're getting baptized. And praise God for all that. If you starve yourself spiritually, you don't avail yourself of the word, don't avail yourself of going to the house of God, being around other people who are pursuing a relationship with God, you'll starve yourself spiritually and you will lose your spiritual appetite. That's not good. The next thing I wrote down here is replace God with something you can't see. We see that in verse number 19. They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molded image. This they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior. One of the aspects of life that we deal with worshiping God in spirit, because he is in spirit and in truth, because God is spirit, is that the world is moved by the things that it sees. Christians are moved by faith in a God that we cannot see. Doesn't mean he's not there any more than believing in oxygen is not irrational, because we know that it's there. I guess that there are some sort of way that they can measure oxygen in a spectral analysis or something like that. But I can tell you, you can see the impacts of God. You can see what he does. And so we need to realize that we live by faith, not by sight. And anytime we try to replace God, who is the creator, with something that is part of his creation, it is going to cause us to not praise the one who actually is deserving of praise. He is worthy. And when we don't praise him, whenever we put something in front of our eyes instead of focusing on what God has done, what God is saying, is then we tend to forget about God entirely. If you were to ask many people here in America, you would see that the overwhelming majority identify themselves as Christians. But if you start drilling down and asking, do you believe the word of God? They may say yes. Then you drill a little deeper and you start asking, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father? And you'd see that the percentages drops. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? And you find out that people actually have a worldview very different than what the Bible talks about. And yet they identify themselves as Christians. What happens is that we tend to forget God. Now, I'm not talking about forgetting a name. I'm talking about forgetting that the lover of your soul even exists. The one who's watching over us with plans and purposes and orders our steps and directs our paths, the one who commands mercy and goodness to follow us all the days of our life, the one who sent forth his son because of his great love for the world, that's a person we can't afford to forget. And so I want to encourage you, don't do that. Just a couple of more. I know we're kind of reliving this checklist today, but you reject what God has provided for you. That's in verse number 24. Then they despised the pleasant land. That means to reject or despise or refuse or consider as worthless the promised land. It's here described as a pleasant land that God had provided for them. It was a land that God described as a land flowing with milk and honey. The spies came back and said, man, you're not going to believe how fruitful the land is. You're not going to believe, you know, the fortified cities. You're not going to believe about the giants and all of this. And you know, we just don't know that God is able to bring us in. You see, Moses had reminded God, God, you're not just able to bring us out of Egypt. You are able to bring us in to the promised land. So one of the reasons that the Philistine army ran when David and Goliath did battle was Goliath was their champion. He was their giant. He was their experienced warrior. They had never seen him fall and never entered their mind that he was going to be defeated. And so when their giant fell, they fled. And so I want to remind you today that God is not just the God who makes promises. He is the God who keeps promises. And sometimes it's that statement that's the only thing that keeps me moving forward. Is God, you made a promise and you're faithful to your promise. And I haven't seen the result yet. I'm not doubting your promise. I'm clinging to it. And so whenever you have a provision from God, don't reject it. Don't turn your nose up at it. You know, one of the things the lexicon said was consider it worthless. When God has provided you something, I guarantee you it is not worthless. It's priceless. There's treasure there someplace. If you can't see it, just wait, because it will prove. God adds blessings, and those blessings come with no sorrow attached to them. And so that is truly a wonderful, wonderful blessing. When I talk about what God has provided for you, the ultimate thing that God provides is he provides himself. And when he provides himself, he doesn't do so in a limited fashion. He brings his entire entourage of blessings with him. And I can tell you this, my life is better because of Jesus. My life is better because of all that Jesus has done. I don't want to forget. I don't want to replace him. I want to continue to praise him. I want my praise life to be vibrant. Let's make sure there's very few of these things in our life. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.